97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome in on a Wednesday morning. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Mark. That's Kim St. Ange down there. Carl Middleman in here as well. We're happy that you're with us this morning. If you missed it a little earlier, at the top of the last hour at 7, we had a chance to talk to Kurt Barr, the director of elections out in St. Charles County, talking about early voting, you know, where you can show up in person and vote absentee without an excuse. And they had long lines out there yesterday. They have two polling locations. And he kind of explained how they're changing things up today. And he's not expecting those same problems. So feel free to go back and listen to that. It'll be up on the podcast, or you can hit rewind on the Odyssey app if you'd like to. Of course, we're covering that because we've just learned that St. Louis County had about 30,000 absentee votes so far, maybe 35,000, 36,000, if you add them up, right? 15,000 voted in person yesterday on the first day of in-person voting. But we know how Missouri's going to go. Missouri's a red state. What's going to happen in some of these swing states like Georgia? And that's where my friend Jonathan Sary with the Fox News Channel is down there reporting on all that this morning. Jonathan, how are you?
Hey, doing well, Mark. Always good to be with you.
Yeah, it's good to have you, my friend. What's it looking like? I mean, I've heard reports from some other states. I think Pennsylvania is one of them, where early voting has shown that Republicans are turning out in greater numbers this year.
Yeah, early voting is huge here in Georgia. Already more than 1.9 million Georgians have already cast ballots. That's nearly 27% of active voters. The problem with figuring out who's ahead in Georgia is this state does not require advance party registration. It's an open primary, and anecdotally, you'll have some Democrats who will vote in the Republican primary because they want to influence the election, and you'll have some Republicans, people who lean Republican, voting in the Democrat primary for the same reasons. And so you don't have a clear indication of who's ahead. All it tells you is that many Georgians are comfortable with their decisions. There aren't going to be any October surprises for them, and they are ready to cast early ballots. Now, that 1.9 million figure, that's more than double the figure this time in the election cycle back in 2020 during the previous presidential election. So there is a lot of interest in early voting, Mark.
I know you've been probably running around trying to cover this story, but I'm curious if you've had a chance to speak to any voters, because you hear about these people who are supposedly undecided, and then you hear about the issues that are most likely to drive people to the polls, like the economy, for example. Have you had a chance to actually speak to some of the reporters there in Georgia? Or I'm sorry, the voters, rather?
Yeah, in fact, when I was standing in line to vote, I came during lunch break in DeKalb County, and there was a very long line because everyone else had the same idea. I'm going to vote during my lunch break, so it took me about 55 minutes. There were two older voters behind me, and they were talking to each other and remarking about the lines, how long it was taking, and then one of the voters said to the other, "Yes, but the important thing is here, and we are casting our ballots." So there is a lot of enthusiasm. Now, as far as where voters are leaning, as you can imagine, like anywhere else in the U.S., it's highly polarized by geography. And so when you're here in metro Atlanta, right now I'm in Decatur, which is in DeKalb County, very blue in metro Atlanta. You go outside the perimeter, you start seeing more Republican signs, more Trump signs. And then when you go into the rural areas, it's all Trump. And so really what voters are saying depends on where you are. If you live in Atlanta, all you're going to see is Kamala Harris streets, yard signs. But if you're out in the country, you're pretty much only going to see Trump signs, and you're going to hear from voters exactly what you would expect. But universally, whether you're liberal or conservative, there's a lot of concern about election integrity.
Yes.
You have the liberals worried about what they call Jim Crow 2.0, new Republican election laws that they believe are unfair. But then you have the Republicans worried about stolen elections and election integrity. And so you're going to hear very similar conversations, but coming from very different directions, depending on what part of the state you're in when you talk to voters.
So nobody's handing out any Warnock water in line these days, right?
No, that is banned under new election laws that went into effect after the last election cycle. You cannot hand out water to the voters. The only contact can be from actual election workers. The other thing that's changed is the absentee ballot drop boxes, which became very popular during the pandemic. In fact, it was the way many people were voting, and you could drive up, the drop box would be 24/7 in the parking lot outside of the election headquarters. Now they have to be kept inside the voting locations, very specific voting locations, or at the election headquarters, and only accessible during operating hours. The idea being you want to monitor who's actually dropping ballots off in that box, and it's limited to very specific family members, whether you're a spouse, a parent, or a child. And when I voted in person, but my wife and son cast absentee ballots, and when I dropped it off, they checked my ID and they asked my relationship to the people who were submitting those ballots. So they really are doing their due diligence here.
That is good news. Jonathan, always great having you on, my friend. Thank you.
My pleasure, Mark.
All right. Talk soon. Jonathan Sarri there, reporting down live in Atlanta. Jonathan and I worked together for about 3 years when we both worked in the upstate of South Carolina, WYFF-TV in Greenville.
That's how it is. You know, you work with these reporters and then they make it to the network.
They make it big. Yeah, I love Jonathan's great guy.
To comment on something that he mentioned, I mean, that's great that when he dropped off his, I guess it was his son, his wife's ballots, that they asked for his ID and his relationship. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a step up from what it was.
Big step.
But maybe I'm just a cynic, but I'm thinking, well, how hard would it be for me to, for example, drop yours off, Mark, and I'm like, oh, well, he's my uncle, or oh, he's a, you know, whatever. You know, like, what stops?
At least you didn't say dad or grandpa.
Well, I actually was really careful on the wording there. Grandpa? Come on now. I know you're a little older than me, Mark, but I don't think you could be my grandpa. Now, Mark is... I'm not going to say
your
age.
No, come on, no. So anyway, to your point, yeah, you're right. But if you watch 2000 Mules, some of that video took place on the outskirts of Atlanta, Georgia, where people were driving up to these drop boxes in the dead of the night.
2 a.m., yes.
With stacks of ballots with rubber gloves on and shoving them in this box. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever investigated it. Nobody ever seemed to care that just lent itself to fraud. So I'm thrilled to find out that they asked for Jonathan's ID.
Yep.
That's great. I mean, that ought to cut down on the possibility for fraud hugely. Huge. It's going to be
bigly.
Huge. It's bigly. Be big. Bigly, for sure. All right, coming up, there's another controversy that's popped up. It's not an October surprise by any stretch of the imagination, but a lot of the networks are leading with it this morning. Comments made yesterday by Donald Trump's former chief of staff, General John Kelly. We're going to get to that when we get back. Stay tuned.
He comments with more than once that Hitler did some good things, too. And, of course, if you know history... again, I think he's lacking in that. But if you know what Hitler was all about, it'd be pretty hard to make an argument that he did anything good.
So this is the New York Times effort at a October surprise. This is General John Kelly, who briefly served as Trump's chief of staff, claiming that Trump told him once that Hitler did some good things when he was in charge. So somehow, obviously, he's feeding this to the left, the New York Times, to try to make headlines today about Donald Trump and help the left. He has Trump derangement syndrome. He's a great example of one of those people that Trump said, when I got to Washington, I didn't know a lot of politicians. I didn't know a lot of these policy people. I hired people based on recommendations without really knowing them. I made some bad decisions. He puts Kelly at the top of that list. And in fact, Kelly is the one. So 26 people denied it. And John Kelly is the one, though, that claimed that he called military members losers when he was in Europe visiting a World War II cemetery. And Trump denied it. And 25 other people denied that it happened. And yet this guy claimed that it happened. So this was Trump's reaction to John Kelly when that happened.
And then one guy who's a very sort of a lowlife guy, he is a lowlife, they got one confirmation, and 26 people said it never happened. But the one confirmation was a guy that I fired, a terrible, stupid person, actually, that couldn't do the job well, and I fired him.
Yeah, that was his interaction with Kelly. Do you see a pattern here? The pattern here is that the people so violently, I was going to say virulently, so violently against Trump, for the most part, have been fired by him, and they're angry at him. And they've got a bone to pick with him. Mm-hmm. One of his former comms people who's over at MSDNC now, I think, or CNN, one of the two, Kelly, Millie, just a couple of the NSA people, they all have Trump derangement syndrome. They hate him with a purple passion because they couldn't control him.
Well, they can also make a profit off of speaking out against him. They want to write a book about it, and their experience with Trump and trash him could be a bestseller.
Yeah, this is one of their headlines today in the New York Times, and this is what they're claiming against him. It's not going to go anywhere. You can't save Kamala Harris from herself. Now, listen to this. Kim, you know this, the reporter in this case, the one that interviewed Kamala yesterday?
Yeah, I used to talk to her when I was filling and anchoring in Des Moines.
Okay. This is what she pressed Kamala Harris yesterday on. What did she know and when did she know it regarding Joe Biden's mental situation? Listen to this word salad lying answer.
With the American people about what you saw in those moments with President Biden as you were with him again and again repeatedly in that time.
Of course, Joe Biden is an extremely accomplished, experienced and capable in every way that anyone would want if they're president.
And you never saw anything like what happened at the debate night behind closed doors with him?
It was a bad debate. People have bad debates. He is absolutely.
But that's the reason why you're here, and he's not running for the top of the ticket.
Well, you'd have to ask him if that's the only reason why.
What do you think?
I am running for president of the United States. I speak with not only sincerity, but with a real firsthand account of watching him do this work. I have no reluctance in saying that. No, of course I don't.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Everybody is asking, are the polls going to actually get it right this year? What do you say to that?
I think so, at least in terms of the high quality polls. I think people need to sort of remember it's an estimate, it's a range. Don't expect perfection.
Polling perfection?
Is it very likely?
It's hard to reach.
She dropped me. Darn it.
We're talking there. That's the guy that runs Quinnipiac doing an NBC interview. I thought that was interesting because they seem to think they've got the polling thing worked out this time. I think that's, they had some hits and misses the last couple of cycles because they can't know for sure if they're getting to Trump voters or not. Because they underpolled him before. For some reason, they think they're going to get it right this time. I don't know if that's true or not. Let's get to our guest. Taylor Riggs is with us this morning from the Big Money Show on the Fox Business Network. Taylor, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You know, I know this is not, we don't really have you on here to talk politics a lot. But the reason I brought that up is that Kim and I were talking the other day about one of these websites. What's it called?
Polymarket.
That kind of looks at the betting odds of who's going to win this election. And I wonder if that's what the big wigs on Wall Street look at, or if they look at these regular polls. Have you ever had that conversation with anyone?
Yes. You know, it's a conversation we're having a little bit more and more as we all are sort of on pins and needles for the next 2 weeks. You know, I want to caution viewers, you know, the stock market is, we don't want to invest our emotions in politics, right? So if you want to buy a stock or a company or look at trades, I always really want to not invest in politics. That being said, there are a few things that we're looking at in the markets that are giving us very important indicators of maybe validating some of the polling that we are seeing. So some of the classic Trump trades, the easiest one right now that we're looking at, DJT. A few months ago, it bottomed out at a low, that's Donald Trump stock, at $11. It is a $36 stock right now. It is more than doubled in just, you know, a month or so. So that's sort of one classic way where Wall Street is sort of betting on his polling, his gaining ground, and thinking he is going to be president. Sort of a more fundamental way that investors are betting has been, if you go back to 2016 when Trump was elected, it was all about the strength of the American economy. So it was looking at a stronger dollar.
Right.
Stronger small cap stocks that are the domestically focused American companies. Weak Mexican peso, weak China's yuan. Those are their currencies because there was conversations about tariffs and trade and a more focused U.S. economy. We are seeing all of that play out again. So do I, you know, I'm not sure if it's exactly like 2016, but Wall Street is definitely making their bets. And their bet right now is Donald Trump, just in terms of what we're seeing in terms of the policy and the way that that's playing out his ideas in the market.
Speaking of the market, I've been following this whole situation with Kellogg's, and there's a call to boycott them because of the artificial dyes they're putting in their company. And it looks like they're down a little bit. Have you heard about this? Because I'm sure something like these petitions to get them to remove the dyes, and it's all over network media, they certainly could have an impact there in the markets.
Yes, you know, 100%. And this is where, not to bring it back to politics, but RFK Jr. has joined the Trump, you know, sort of campaign team in saying make America healthy again. There is no reason why the product, Kellogg can sell one product in Europe and the same product in America, but the product they put in the American food is worse for us than the chemicals that they put in the European food that is healthier. It is the same product, but they're doing it because we don't, we probably haven't stood up for ourselves before. B, I think we're all finally becoming aware that what we're putting in our body is garbage. It's killing us, and it's causing an obesity and a diabetes problem. I just spoke with Dr. Mark Siegel yesterday, who's a Fox News contributor, and he said, there's a reason why you eat pasta in Europe and it doesn't make you fat, but you eat pasta here and it's driving us all insane. So I do think that, you know, on a short-term basis, will it impact Kellogg's stock? Maybe not. I think long-term, the more pressure we put on these companies, they're really going to have to think about the quality of the food that they are feeding us. And why are they putting garbage in it in America when it's a cleaner product in Europe?
I'm really torn on whether I'd like to see RFK in charge of the FDA or the CIA.
Ooh.
Because I think RFK would shake up both of those organizations.
FDA all the way. FDA all the way.
Totally. You know, from the way I know him, given my more limited knowledge of him more recently, I think Americans are desperate to be healthy.
Yep.
I think we are desperate for a leader who can help. You know, are there drugs that can help us be healthy, or are there drugs that are maybe too much and we need to be thinking more responsibility or looking more at the companies and how are we thinking about healthcare? So, you know, we'll have to see how it all plays out.
I know, Taylor, we have just about a minute or so left, but I have to ask you about the IRS came out yesterday and announced the new 2025 tax brackets. What kind of implication will that have?
Yeah, so the good news is I think there was an inflation adjustment. So single filers and married filers, your tax bracket, you get a little bit more wiggle room. You get a little bit of a higher tax deduction, right? So the good news is the brackets are moving up because people are, in theory, making more because inflation has caused us all to, you know, we're getting more wages, even though it's not paying for as much things. Definitely talk to your accountant. But the good news is now you sort of know where you are in that bracket for single and married and sort of that one time tax exemption as well.
So that was the $12,000 and $25,000 standard deduction, right? That's being changed?
Yeah, does that go up to 15?
Okay.
I think I'll have to go back and do my research, and I can report back if you guys have me again.
Yeah.
And sort of give you the full outline of the numbers. But the good news is I think they're raising all of these because they know inflation has caused this sort of massive problem where we're making more, and so they do need to raise these numbers.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Taylor, thank you. So good at what you do. Thanks for your help.
Always.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Yeah, appreciate that. Taylor Riggs, co-anchor of the Big Money Show on the Fox Business Network. You can't throw her a curve.
I was just going to say, it's not like she knows what questions we're going to... I didn't prepare her for that Kellogg's question, and she knew exactly what I was talking about, and the IRS question didn't tell her about that one either.
Yeah. Yeah, I was looking at this Polymarket thing, which is pretty fascinating. Currently, there's $2 billion being waged, if I'm doing my math here correctly, on the outcome of the presidential election on Polymarket. $2.3 billion as of November, with the election on November 5th, right? Donald Trump is at 63.9% of the people are voting that Donald Trump will win, and 35.9% on this Polymarkets are betting that that Harris wins. And if you look at this chart, you can go back to February of this year. This is all of it, right? You can go back a week, a month, a day, 6 hours, 1 hour. Significant boost in August when she had her DNC convention. And then it kind of went back and forth through the month of September, where Trump led again, and then she led again. And then at the beginning of October, she started dropping like a rock. And Trump's going straight up. Now, is that scientific? Well, no, not from the standpoint that they reach out to anybody and ask them who they're voting for. This is where people are willing to bet their money on who's going to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're betting on specific questions like, will Kamala Harris win all six swing states? 9% say, I guess, yes. That's down 2%. Another question, Trump gets more black voters in 2020, and 84% say yes, and that's gone up. They still think Harris is going to win the popular vote.
You can bet on anything on this site. RFK Jr.'s popular vote share, even though he's not technically in the race anymore. You can bet on what Trump will say during the Georgia rally. Now, of course, Joe Rogan has already announced he's having Trump on. You could even have bet on whether or not Trump would do the Joe Rogan show before the election. So there's just about nothing on there that you can't bet on right now. And by the way, the North Carolina presidential election winner, they're showing a 70% chance that Republicans win that one. So for what it's worth, that's Polymarket. I thought that's pretty interesting. All right, we'll get to a quick break. We'll be back and talk more about the election here in Missouri, early voting, when we come back.
EMA. Great Odin's Raven.
All right, a few minutes ago, Senator Josh Hawley tweeted out, "I wonder who Lucas Kuntz will shoot today."
He's been trolling him since yesterday.
Oh, my. There have been some political missteps before, but this one just about takes the cake. If you missed the story, Senate candidate Lucas Kuntz decided it would be a great idea to show off his Second Amendment skills and take reporters out to a private farm somewhere north of Kansas City to go shooting. And when he did that, these dummies used an AR-15 with a scope on targets that were on a pistol range. You don't shoot rifles on a pistol range. First of all, if you do, you use paper targets, which means the bullet goes through the paper and keeps on going. They used steel targets because, of course, when you hit them, they go ping, ping, and it sounds good for the TV cameras. The problem is, one of the TV reporters got wounded. And Lucas Kuntz tried to turn it into an I'm always prepared kind of moment because I had four emergency kits with me.
He said he was very proud of those four first aid kits, as he should be, you know.
Lucas Kuntz wounded a reporter. Now, first of all, this morning, there was some local coverage of it. Like, if you Google it, the first things that come up, Kansas City Star reported on it. KSHB, which is the reporter that got hit. They reported on it, but they've got no video yet. Like, nobody's heard from the reporter yet. Channel 5, Channel 4 covered it here locally. Now it's starting to get attention nationally. It's in the Daily Mail has picked it up. The New York Post has picked it up. They're about to make Lucas Kuntz a national media star for shooting a reporter.
Mm-hmm.
Or wounding a reporter, I guess I should say. there couldn't be a worse nightmare politically for Lucas Kuntz. I mean, I don't know if he's trying to emulate Dick Cheney. Maybe next he recruits Dick Cheney to start shooting people. What do you think?
Well, he was already going to lose. Now this is the nail in the coffin, but you might as well. Just all the people that you could possibly royally make your campaign even worse. In fact, he can invite Tim Walz to load the gun that he could then shoot.
Well, Lucas Kuntz brags about the fact that he's been like a lieutenant colonel in the military. And he doesn't know basic safety protocols. He goes, well, it's always possible for, you know, there to be a ricochet. You don't use a rifle at a pistol range on steel targets. Everybody knows that. Plus, here's the kicker. And it would have been a big kicker. He had a can of Tannerite sitting on the table. If that bullet had flown back and hit that, it would have killed several people. There's no doubt about it. He's lucky he didn't kill someone. Wow. Hey, by the way, if you missed my interview with Kurt Barr, St. Charles County Elections Director, go to the podcast. We'll have it up on demand. Hit rewind on the Odyssey app. You can listen to it. He's talking about some of the delays they had in St. Charles County yesterday. They're hoping to get those cleared up today so you can get out there and vote. Vote, vote, vote. Whatever you do, go vote. All right, that does it for us. Kilmeade will be up here in just a couple minutes. Kim and Carl and I will see you back here tomorrow morning.
Get more at 971talk.com.